As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Football League Show Thursday edition. Luton get their groove back, Derby are back in the black, points wise, and Nottingham Forest scored three times in one game. Longer than a Max Power own goal, crisper than an Alex Mowat volley. This is the Totally Football League Show in association with Paddy Power. Hi listener, I'm Matt Davis Adams. Hopefully you'll find a quantum of solace on this week's podcast. With me, it's the man with the Golden Gunners analysis, former Arsenal winger Adrian Clark.
Hello.
And also a man who's probably thinking never say never again after the amount of podcasts he's been on this week. It's Super Sam Parkin.
Hello, Matthew.
Hello. Just for clarity, they're Abbey introductions. I'm not a Bond guy at all. Just totally pointless, isn't it? I mean, I'll give you a spoiler alert for the new film. Bond wins, same as every other one. Why bother?
I'm kind of with you. I'm with you on that. James Bond, it's never floated my boat. I can sit through it. I can kind of enjoy it. But at the end of it, it's just a bit. I don't know. No, I'm with you. Sam's nodding.
Sam.
Well, it passes the time, doesn't it? Although my favourite character is probably Jaws from any James Bond movie, so that probably sums it up, doesn't it? You know, he didn't win, did he?
No, he didn't. Anyway, if you're going to go and see it this weekend, do have a nice time. We should probably start talking about football, though. Coming up, we're speaking with Wickham manager Gareth Ainsworth. First, though, quite a lot happened in midweek.
You're listening to the Totally Football League Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network.
Loads to go at from these midweek games then. A couple of headlines. West Brom battered beleaguered Cardiff. They go top. Bournemouth drop points against Posh. Derby have made 20 members of staff redundant as a result of their administration. Steve McLaren's also stepped down as technical director. Nigel Pearson's tested positive for COVID. In League One, Sunderland back on top. They crushed Cheltenham. Wigan lost at home to Sheffield Wednesday. Ipswich ended their wait for a home win in emphatic fashion. And it's really not looking good for Adkins at the Addicks after Bolton thumped Charlton on their own patch. Clarkie, I'll let you have first go. What's caught your eye from these games on Tuesday and Wednesday?
I don't think we can ignore the Tractor Boys finally clicking into gear. What a win. I know that they've faced a really out of sorts Doncaster side that have been unexpectedly rubbish this season. But look, it's no mean feat, is it, to score six goals, especially when the pressure is on. And yeah, I thought it was a brilliant performance. Some great goals in there. Bersant Salina, good to see him back, sort of shining, playing in behind McCauley Bonn. He was involved in quite a few of the games. And yeah, maybe Cookie's found the right blend. It must be so hard when you've got an embarrassment of riches to work out what your best team is and who to even have on the bench. But look, surely on the back of a great team performance, it'll be same again at the weekend.
Cook, blend, nice, like that a lot. Sam, loads to go at from both leagues. What was it that really caught your attention other than QPR getting back to winning ways?
I thought that Luton's win was maybe the most surprising. You know, League One and and the Championship, there was some heavy beating, some big scorelines. But I thought that one, considering no one's done that to Coventry, and how limp, I suppose, Luton were in front of goal at Bournemouth at the weekend. So I think that's a real tonic for the two front men in particular, Adebayo and Cornick, both to get braces, you know, to give them the belief really in the Championship that they can score freely as a partnership. Thought the intensity in the first half was unbelievable, stopped that really good commentary back three from being able to play into midfield. So yeah, that one was a big win, and into the top half now. So, you know, maybe this could be the year that we do get a real surprise runner at those playoffs.
Adrian, I want to talk about the West Brom-Cardiff game, because Mick McCarthy put, four, five centre-halves on the pitch after what had happened to them at Blackburn at the weekend. Didn't make much of a difference defensively.
No, I think it was counterproductive. I really do. I think that if you put players into positions where they're not comfortable and you put them up against a really good team, then it's kind of asking for trouble. I get it. Five big guys at the back, it will help you defend set pieces, long throws, etc. But you've got to have an outlet, and you've got to play inside the opposition half. I think that's the key against West Bromwich Albion, is to get the ball into their half. Now, whether that's going, missing the press and going long, getting it up there, playing percentage football of your own to go and test their defence, or being bold enough to sometimes play through the lines and look after the ball. But he didn't pick a team that was ever going to look after the ball in this game. It was a really sort of functional starting 11 that only, in effect, had two forward players in Giles and Collins. And Giles, really, has been a wing-back. So you could make the argument that he picked 10 defensive players and James Collins for this game. I mean, Bakuna sort of fits in between. Yeah, they were never going to score goals in the game, playing that way, in my opinion. So, yeah, if he could have another go at it, I think Mick would pick a different starting 11. They also made a load of basic mistakes again, switching off for two quick free kicks, making a mess of it inside their own box as well. So, yeah, bad times for Cardiff, and the locals not loving it, by all accounts.
Yeah, you wonder how much longer Mick McCarthy's got left there, but yeah, well worth another mention for that Alex Mowat goal, which was absolutely
What a ping.
Mowat on the volley, oh my goodness! What a spectacular goal that is!
What a screamer that was, by me.
It was McGinn-like. Would you remember McGinn scoring one like that in the Championship? I think Samwell, absolute worldie, but yeah, he couldn't have hit that sweet. That was brilliant.
Felt like a significant week at the top of League One, Sam. Sunderland with the crushing win against Cheltenham and Wigan having lost. And Sunderland now 3 points above Wigan and third place MK, but they've got a game in hand on most of the playoff pack. Do you think we might see a bit of a gap starting to open up between the Black Cats and the rest?
Probably not, because I think there's some really strong teams in that pack. I don't think Wigan will fall away after one result where Sheffield Wednesday did a bit of a job on them. But yeah, again, a bit of a statement victory, just because they're totting them up, I suppose, at the Stadium of Light, and we've grown so accustomed to them ballsing up really at home. And again, to sound a bit repetitive, nobody really does that to Cheltenham. You know, they've been so stingy, I suppose, defensively. It was a comfortable win for Wigan at the weekend, but you know, I wouldn't have looked at that game and felt that it had been such a gulf between the two sides. I thought it probably would have been a tight affair. Sunderland, yes, to win it. But yeah, they've got some players banging form at the moment throughout the side, and none more so than Ross Stewart, who upped himself to a couple more goals. And, you know, having spoken to David Priest early in the week, you know, I can be even more emphatic about this chap now. He looks like a brilliant centre forward at League One level. So they're going brilliantly.
Sam, you're a big Scott Twine guy, particularly the treble that he bagged in midweek. Tell us more.
Well, you're looking at this now, this lad who's gone into MK Dons and ripping it up, and you've got to question why a Championship club didn't take him. And I mean a top Championship club at that as well, because he gives you a ridiculous threat from set pieces. His goal scoring from outside the box is so consistent. And I don't know if you to have got your favourite hat-trick of all time, but this is probably got in my top five now. It's unbelievable. Alex Cairns chucks the second one in, that said. Is moving around the strike all over the place, but great individual one for the first, cuts in off the left, and the third is as good a free kick you'll see in the third tier. So he looks like, oh, I know he's a really special talent, and delighted for him. My favourite hat-trick, by the way, Michel, remember it? Spain v South Korea, 1990 World Cup. There you go.
The only one I can think of, Clark, is Robbie Fowler against Arsenal, that 4-minute
one. Oh, come on.
No
come
Forest
on.
Player scored a hat-trick for about 15 years, but he got one two. That speaks to mind?
He got two hat-tricks against Arsenal, one in the daytime. I was on the bench when he got the second hat-trick. I was warming up and the Scousers absolutely battered me the whole game. I didn't come on, but I just remember it because they just ripped me, but because it was Anfield, I just wanted to warm up the whole game. Like, I just wanted to be out there, like I felt like I was part of it. So yeah, that was that. But no, my favorite hat trick is Daly and Atkinson. Check it out on YouTube, against I think Middlesbrough for Ipswich back in the 80s, late 80s. Just unbelievable. I was there, and you never forget hat tricks like that.
Right, whilst we're on League One, let's get to a brief conversation I had with the Wickham manager, Marginal Gainsworth, if you will. Well, Gareth, big win on Tuesday at Shrewsbury. You tucked in sixth place with a game in hand on the three teams above you. You pleased, therefore, with your start to life back in League One?
Yeah, definitely. And as you mentioned, being in sixth place, I think, keeps us under that radar as well. It's great, you know, because we were Championship last year, but we're still Wickham Wanderers, and we are still this small team that everyone thinks of as being tucked in there, and maybe you know, Wickham are massively overachieving. I said to the boys before the game the other night, I think we've got the best squad in the league. I really do. I'm really pleased about what I've been able to bring in. All in all, it's been a very positive start, and I'm pleased to be sitting in that top bunch, because that bunch is about 11 teams, believe me, 12 teams that I think are all capable of finishing in the top two this year in League One.
Yeah, it's an incredibly stacked division. You mentioned about the depth and quality of your squad. Is that something that you've kind of had to readjust to, because you're not necessarily used to working with a huge squad in previous years?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've always gone slim, and I think we've always sort of been around the 23, 24 mark. This year, I'm right up there at the 30 mark with this development squad that we've been able to put together, thanks to Rob and Pete Couig and their investment and their dreams of a production of younger players coming through. You know, it's not an academy, and it never will be, because they're a million miles away from this development team model. But the squad depth now is brilliant. But as a manager, and all managers will tell you, and I was lucky enough to speak to Pep Guardiola in our League Cup tie the other week, and he's got the same problems. You know, he's talking to me about the players you leave out the team. You know, sometimes how do you manage them, and it was really interesting that right through the levels, that is the issue. You know, it's that balance of, you want all the best players, but you can only play 11 of them. So when these best players start getting a little bit annoyed and a little bit peeved that they're not playing, then they don't become the best players. They become lesser players, and it's a real balancing act that I think, you know, I've managed to get right over the years, and hopefully again this season. I remember in pre-season and at the start of the season, we were talking, myself, my head of sports science, my head of medical, my assistant manager, all about the numbers that we were going to bring in. And I think on their side, especially the medical staff and the sports science staff, they want maybe one or two more players, because they see the players as a group, and picking the best 11 from the group. They're not the ones who have to manage the ones who aren't in the team. So I have to balance their want of a little bit bigger squad with my management of the team and my faith in my sports science and medical department, how many they can keep fit, how many they, you know. So it was a big stat thing about how many we have kept fit, how many we've worked on over the past previous 5 years. We went into depth of looking at the past previous five squads over the years, and how many injuries we had, how improved we've become, and all these things came into getting maybe one more than usual. But the depth, what I'm talking about, is the standard of the player now. You know, you look at the bench on Tuesday night, and you got Adebayo Akinfenwa, Gareth McCleary, Daryl Horgan, David Wheeler, Dominic Gate wasn't even in the team. Anis Mehmeta, the young protege, you know, I'm sure to have missed one out there. Sorry. Jordan Obita, he's played Premier League. So we've got this depth now that the bench will show you what strength you have in the first team. And I'm really proud of that. But again, it's managing all the players, all the egos, all the team spirit that people talk about. It's my job to manage that as much as the tactics, as the way we play, as the who signs, what we do, when do we travel, when do we not travel, all that sort of stuff. So, many caps on this job, but love it as always.
You mentioned Pep Guardiola there. Did you manage to have much of a chat with him last week?
You know what? The best stories. I wanted to take him something, so this lad from Blackburn, I pinch myself sometimes, I really do, and I will never take one day for granted. So what I wanted to do was go there and say, look, this isn't lip service, I am genuinely humbled to be on the same pitch as somebody like you. I think he's done an amazing job. I thought he was an amazing player, and to manage the teams he's managed, to win what he's won, I just thought, wow. So I wanted to take him a bottle of wine. Now, I was doing some research on the internet thinking, what wine does he drink? And there was rumours that he likes his red wine and he's drunk bottles from £500 to £3,000. I'm thinking, I don't know what to do here. So I just thought, you know what, just be yourself, Gareth. Took him a bottle of Spanish wine. And after the game, he could not have been better. He invited me into his office. And I gave him this bottle of wine. I said, Pep, it's a pleasure to meet you and thanks for inviting me in. And I looked on his table and there's six bottles of red wine that are probably a hell of a lot more expensive than the bottle of wine that I brought him. But he opened one of his and we shared it. We had a couple of glasses of wine together and talking about all the things that football entails. And then at the end, he gave me one of his bottles of wine. And I thought, as transfer deals go, I think I've got the best deal here. So I walked out with one of his bottles of wine. And that experience, honestly, will stay with me forever. You know, we asked him for a photo at the end. You don't do that to opposition managers, but I did. And we had a photo in his office. And it's probably, in football, it's the closest I've ever been to being sort of overawed. I had a photo with Slash from Guns N' Roses once. And that's, you know, that's probably my ultimate. That's who I am, you know, the rock and roll star. But it was brilliant that Pep had those moments for me and could have easily have just said, no, we don't want to see Wickham, or we don't. Just the humility of the man is special. And I think that we're very privileged to have people like him in our country, in our game. The characters that we've got at the top, it was awesome. Really, really was.
Excellent, yeah, and the fact that he didn't give you your own bottle of wine back means that it must have been half decent at least.
I'm hoping, or maybe he's just as humble as me and thought, I can't kill this guy. So
you mentioned the music there. We've had Joe Jacobson on the pod a couple of times, and he's told us that you're in charge of the music at the gym. What are you putting on at the moment to get the boys going in the morning?
Do you know what? He says I'm in charge. Joe's doing his manager a praise there, because I'm not. I get in first. That's the key thing. So I get in first before any of the boys, and I still pride myself in keeping fit. So when I'm in, I get control. There's a Bluetooth connection facility to our sound system in the gym, and so when I get on it could be anything from Motley Crue to Guns N' Roses to Bob Dylan to any of the classic rock sort of stuff. I'm a big 80s hair rock fan, you know, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, even a bit of Bon Jovi, and that will go on now and again. I'm not too pain to admit, but only the early stuff, by the way. They come in, the boys come in. The other day was great. The boys come in, and I don't know if you know Van Halen, Jump, you know, that song.
Of course.
Everyone knows Van Halen. And obviously he died recently, so I was paying a bit of tribute to Eddie Van Halen. I think it was after the Sunderland defeat. And the boys come in on a Monday morning, and Van Halen, Jump's blasting out. I'm pumping away and chin-ups and everything in the gym, full of energy. And I honestly think the boys
even though they might not smile and join in singing, I think there's a little smile on the inside thinking, do you know what? It isn't that bad. And that's me, you know, music's so important to me and it can change everyone's mood. Everyone who reads this or listens to this will know that you put a good song on, I don't care how down you're feeling, how bad it is, you put one of your songs on, what you class as your song, and it takes you back to that place and it just lifts the mood, and it really does. And I think that music's so powerful, really, really do. And obviously I'm in it, and mum was a singer, and I've grown up with things like that. But it was one of those moments where I thought, you know what, I'm so glad that timed this just as that song's on and just as they're coming in. It was one of those moments where you think, you know what, life isn't that bad.
Well, that leads me nicely on to my final question. Producer Abby is calling this Wickham Dine With Me. We want to know three rock legends, dead or alive, that you would be having dinner with if you got the chance. I'm guessing Jim Morrison will be one.
Jim Morrison, without a doubt. When I grew up in the... I'm 17, 18 years old when the film, Oliver Stone film, came out the doors. And just before that, I was hooked on Morrison. And then up into his Paris, to his grave, to where he grew up in Florida and California, you know. So big fan of Jim Morrison. So I think he'd be one. Oh, wow, three. You're killing me here. this is hard. My son's middle name is Presley. So my son's called Kane Presley Ainsworth. So not after Harry Kane, but it's the same spelling, but definitely after Elvis Presley, and it's the same spelling, and Ainsworth at the end. So he's got to be in there. Obviously, I can't name my son after probably the king of rock and roll. And do you know what? This is hard. Wow. You've really got me. There's so many good ones, you know. There's so many good ones.
Mick Jagger, you've always liked the Jagger swagger on stage, haven't you?
I think Mick Jagger might have to be in there. You know what? Just as an inspiration, that I think you can go on forever. I really do. So I think Mick Jagger would have to be in there. I've got two dead ones, and then one who just seems like he's going to outlive everyone. So that's a good mix, I think, and that'll do me without a doubt.
Well, it sounds like a fun dinner party. Gareth, thanks so much for your time today. Good luck against Morecambe on Saturday and for the rest of the season.
Thanks a lot. Take care, everyone.
Gareth Ainsworth, the Bruce Springsteen of Wickham, i.e. the boss. Ask your parents, kids. Clarky, they got Morecambe at Adams Park on Saturday. I mean, we've seen Morecambe do pretty good stuff in the division so far. So a potential banana skin, but Wickham do look in a good moment, if I can use that phrase.
Yeah, yellow card. But yeah, they do. I mean, home form's very strong, isn't it, for Wickham? They definitely look like playoff material. Got players when you look at the squad that went up, it was a big surprise, wasn't it? You thought, well, they really overachieved with that group of players. But now when you look at what Gareth Ainsworth has got at his disposal, you think, actually, that's a really strong League One squad, and I'd expect them to be in and around the playoff picture. So yeah, no, they'll be favourites, of course they will. But Morecambe on that counter are, they're dangerous. And Cole Stockton, a little bit like Ross Stewart, is just on fire, isn't he? Everything he touches seems to turn to goals at the moment. So, yeah, they'll have to concentrate, Wickham, in this one, even though I make them, you know, good favourites.
Sam, in the chat, Gareth told us that he thinks that Wickham have got the best squad in League One this season. A, would you agree with that? And B, is that the kind of thing that a manager says to appease players who maybe aren't getting as many minutes as they would like?
Yeah, maybe. Putting me on the spot there, I probably wouldn't say it's as strong as Wigan's. I'd probably take them over Wickham to throw one club at you. But
Ipswich,
yeah. But I know what he's getting at, because it's probably the strongest squad that he's had. You know, they lost a few, obviously, last year, loanees who were brilliant in the Championship. But I think, you know, I maybe did them a little bit of a disservice the other week. I think I referred to them against Milton Keynes Dons as beauty against the beast, which I think the stats probably back it up in terms of they still play long balls and still very successful from set pieces, but they have got quality players now in the forward positions. Maybe, you know, McCleary being the obvious one in that, you know, really good technicians. So they have the option of playing to feet and conjuring goals a different way than we've probably grown accustomed to seeing Wickham score. So I think that's probably what he's getting at. They've probably got better players that can handle the football better than anything they've had before.
All right, that's League One. We'll look ahead to some Championship games next.
So, Mr. Bielsa, what's troubling you?
Well, Doctor, my translator is constantly undermining me. Last week, I told everyone to take five and get an ice cream, but he told them to run laps and practice their shooting.
Sometimes it seems they don't know what they're doing, but with Paddy Power, you always know you're getting top draw rewards. If one leg of your bet builder on a football game lets you down, get your money back as a free bet. Paddy Power!
Pre-match bet builder bets only. Max free bet £10 per day. Excludes enhanced match odds. Min 4 plus legs. Min odds 1/5 per leg. Online exclusive. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Because you're a listener of the Totally Football League Show, you can get a third off an Athletic subscription right now. All you need to do is head to theathletic.com/league show.
The early kickoff on Saturday is at the Coventry Building Society Arena. A natty name for a football ground, that is. A surprise package, Coventry City welcoming, not very surprise package, Fulham, who went above Cov in midweek. Sam mentioned it earlier, Adrian. What on earth happened to Coventry at Luton on Wednesday night? 5-0.
Just unbelievable. Yeah, they were just blown away, weren't they? And that can happen in matches, particularly on the road. If you don't start right and you're not fully at it and the other team are really on you and that they've got powerful, pacey players, and Luton have got those, then you can get swept aside. And I think that's what happened. Fulham will offer a very different kind of threat, won't they? They're probably a more cultured side. I don't mean that disrespectfully to Luton, who were awesome in that particular game. But yeah, it'll be a different type of challenge, more of a sort of normal football match where, you know, we'll knock it around, you'll knock it around, and we'll see how we go. So yeah, I don't expect them to get battered again. And when you have been spanked like that, it does refocus minds. So yeah, I'd imagine that Mark Robbins will focus really hard on the back three and the wing backs and the central midfielders in this game, as he prepares it anyway. So yeah, no, back down to earth with a big bump. You just got to hope from a Sky Blue perspective that confidence hasn't been dented too much. But they were brilliant in their last home game against Peterborough. They've been excellent in all of the home games, you know, the perfect record. And they've got one of the best or most informed strikers in Jokeres up top as well. So look, I give them a fighting chance to bounce back with a positive result. Whether they'll beat Fulham or not, yeah. I don't think I'll be tipping too many teams to beat Fulham on the podcast this season.
As for Fulham, comfortable 3-1 win at home to Swansea for them in midweek. Sam, I'm sure that Mitro hat-trick made you your top 500 all-time hat-trick. So is he a bit of a championship cheat code? I mean, it's bizarre. He's one of these players who lives in that vortex of too good for the championship, not good enough for the Premier League.
Yeah, he definitely is that. He's relentless at this level. You know, he has been the last couple of occasions. I suppose it's getting the support cast right for Silva at the moment. I think that's maybe where they've just been falling short in recent weeks. I mean, it was 1-5 in all competitions before this, so that they needed this victory. And I thought Cabano coming in was excellent. I think that was only his fourth start, got himself an assist. Still a bit of a question mark with Carvalho missing, who's the best number 10 right now. So that's a conundrum for the manager moving forward. But yeah, the run's not been brilliant recently, but I think the performances have been good. I mean, they've still been consistent. The amount of shots they've been rattling in, I mean, they've done enough to win 10 games over the last kind of three or four games. I think 25 shots against Reading, 22 shots at Bristol City. It was kind of a matter of time, I think, before they got back to winning ways. They're pretty good defensively. But this will be a really good game, as Clarkey says. Two of the three best average shots per game. It should be a really nice encounter. And I think Fulham, you know, last night against Swansea, it's a different way to win, isn't it? Playing on the counter-attack, a team that dominates the ball. So in the long run, that's probably done them some good, because there's going to be a lot of times this year where they've got to probe and try and break down a deep line defence. And that was something a bit different last night. And they came through with flying colours.
Yeah, I think what helped Fulham in this game, or Mitrovic in particular, was that Cole Norton, and it was just a bit of a mismatch in terms of power and strength inside the box. It just seemed like it was a giant up against, not a midget, but you know what I mean? It was physically, they were not anywhere near similar. And I've just always felt that Cole Norton, even though he can do a job in a back three, I think he's more of a natural fullback. And yeah, that definitely played into the hands. When you look at the goals that they scored, I think up against a bigger, stronger centre-half, does Mitrovic get that hat-trick? I don't think he does.
This courtesy of the football journalist's best friend, Soccer Base. This is going to be the first time that these two have played each other since 1983. Prior to that, it was 1968. Coventry's last win against Fulham, 1949. Nobody's as impressed at that as I am, but I thought it was a point of note. Anyway, moving swiftly on, Luton against Huddersfield on Saturday. Luton back at Kenilworth Road. Adrian, it was back on Monday. We were saying, you guys, the experts, were saying there's not much for Luton to be worried about. It'll click for them soon enough. Yeah, turns out you know your stuff.
There's two things to look at when you're sort of trying to work out a team. Use your eyes. What do you see? Do you like what you see? And then there is the data. And the data also backed up what I think me and Sam were seeing with our eyes. And that was that there's nothing to worry about, that they've got this a real goal threat. And Sam pointed it out on the show, I think, that they've been hit by defensive injuries. And that has definitely hurt them. And in this game, Sonny Bradley was back in that back three. Glenn Ray returned to the starting lineup for the first time this season in the sort of midfield role that holds it all together. And that made a big difference, and it gave them the platform to absolutely whoop Coventry. I mean, it was, Sam said it already, Cornick and Adebayo, just so powerful, so quick, so hardworking. And yeah, it was just intense. It was Nathan Jones. It's exactly what he wants. I've always seen Nathan as the kind of coach that wants to sort of play the Jurgen Klopp style, sort of fast, pressing, high octane football. He wants his teams to be unbelievably fit like he was, and to just play with energy like he did, really, as a player. And yeah, it just came together in that game. And they'll look to repeat the trick, I guess, against a Huddersfield team that score goals but also concede. I think this one could be another really exciting game.
There's a good clip on the Luton Twitter feed today of Nathan Jones saying that Jordan Clark is the best free transfer in history.
Talk about Jordan Clark, who's the best free transfer in history.
they put him up against Messi.
Yeah, take that, Messi. Yeah. Huddersfield, great win for them. We didn't mention it in our midweek chat, but a 3-2 thriller in the War of the Roses against Blackburn midweek. And that's a really good response, having lost their previous two without scoring. Seems to be feast or famine for them at the minute, though, Sam. Last three wins have seen them score 4 once and 3 twice. So they're either all in or you don't get anything in terms of goals.
Yeah, that's basically what I've got. Move on, please, Matt. I haven't got a clue, basically. They're either dreadful or really good, as they were in the week. What I will say is they've got obviously some great talented younger players in the forward area. So I think there's maybe been a slight change in the way they're going about things. They've never really dominated possession under Corberan, but I think get it into these guys. And Sorba Thomas, obviously another 2 assists. He got a bit lucky, it looks, in the week, because he took those 2 off and replaced them with Dwayne Holmes. He's not been brilliant of late, and Ollie Turton. So quite negative changes, really, as a double change. And I think basically declaring for the point, and they get the winning goal 3 minutes later, I think it was, after the changes. So a bit of good fortune. Vallejo, by all accounts, in there with O'Brien, was good in the absence of Hogg, who's become part of the furniture at Huddersfield. And he was only on for, I think, 56 minutes. And he didn't have too many touches, but what he did, I thought, was really proactive and got himself a goal as well. So there's a decision for the manager to make. Does he bring back in Hogg or does he stick with Vallejo? But yeah, I mean, it's not a season they're going to struggle, but I don't think it's a season that they've got enough in depth to threaten the playoff positions, especially still with a question mark. Yes, he got two goals, Ward, but I'm not sure they're going to have enough of a consistent scorer.
Yeah. Just very quickly, I think you just mentioned depth there. Neither team has massive depth for obvious reasons. I think this is the type of fixture they'll both want after a midweek game, if you know what I mean. Whereas if you play in midweek and then you've got a Fulham or you've got one of the bigger teams that were able to freshen up their team without weakening it, that can hurt teams like Luton and Huddersfield. They like the weeks where you don't have the midweekers. So yeah, I think both these teams will eye up this and feel quite confident going in with similar starting 11s, I guess.
Yeah, both games between them finished 1-1 last season. Huddersfield's last win at Kenilworth Road in League One in 2008 against the Luton side featuring 1S Parking.
Really?
Remember it well?
No. 2-1?
His reaction would suggest not.
I think it was 1-0. Anyway, we'll come back to that later. That's all I'll say on that. Abby, give us some championship odds, please.
Yeah, we'll start with that Luton-Huddersfield game. Luton are the favourites here, 11-10. Huddersfield and the draw both coming in at 23-10. We see a sort of similar picture with that Coventry-Fulham game, both Coventry and a draw 12-5, with Fulham coming in at 21-20. But we talk about Mitrovic, I sort of looked up. There might be some value in there. Anytime goal scorer for Mitro, 6-5. Could be worth something.
Maybe. Thanks, Abby. Right, League One next.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This is the Totally Football League Show from The Athletic. Keep up to date with everything Totally by following us at The Totally Show on Twitter.
Let's take a look ahead to a couple of fixtures that caught our eye. Using crew and Cambridge in the same sentence usually conjures up images of scholars racing boats whilst posh people sipping pims watch on. There'll be absolutely none of that at Gresty Road on Saturday, though, when Crewe Alexandra welcome Cambridge United. Sam, Crewe battened down the hatches at Plymouth on Tuesday, took a point in a 1-1 draw despite facing 26 shots at their goal. They start the weekend in the relegation zone. Abby says that this feels like a big game for Crewe. Is she right?
Yeah, the type of game that they'll be highlighting that they can take maximum points. Another really good point. I think it was more of a battering at Rotherham at the weekend. This sounds like they had a really good spell in the first half, actually, where they maybe could have converted another chance. But yeah, they're conceding a lot of shots. They're facing the most shots in the division, in fact, and they're not much better in that regard going forward. I think they're averaging the third least shots in the division. So as you'd expect, the defenders are being called upon rather a lot. I noted that Thomas and Daniels, most blocks in the division. Luke Orford averaging the second most clearances. They're under the cosh a lot. And I think there's mitigating circumstances for that. I think this is a new team that has lost a lot of quality players. I know it's kind of banging the same old drum, but I think that has to come into account. He's recruited a number of new players in the summer, and it may take a little bit of time to, I suppose, recognise who the creators are really in this squad and who's going to provide the ammunition for Mandron and Kashket, who got his maiden goal in the week at Plymouth. So having lost Kirk and Owen Dale and, of course, those wonderful fullbacks, this is a new team. But I've seen enough from Janiel Bennett on loan from Spurs and I've seen Kane Ramsey previously at Southampton. They're two really good assets, I think, at League One level. So it's going to be a bit of a grind this year, but I think for Artel, you have to remember what he's done previously and just hold fire on being too critical. I think they'll have enough to stay in the division, but it may be by the skin of their teeth.
As for Cambridge, beaten at home by Gillingham midweek, and they're investigating an incident which allegedly saw a coin thrown at Gill's keeper, Jamie Cumming. He still has coins. That loss marked the first time they failed to score in League One this season. Clarkie, that and the 12 points from 9 games they've got suggest their return to Tier 3 is going okay.
Yeah, it's going really well, I think. Yeah, I expected them to perhaps go down this season, and they may still get relegated, Cambridge, but they've started really, really well. Ironside has been great. We've talked him up before. And I think they've been a bit unlucky. The Gillingham game, I think they were the better team, and the XG would suggest that. And on that, in terms of what they've conceded, I think they've conceded 12 goals in open play, Cambridge, which is quite a lot, but the expected goals metric says they should only have conceded 6 or 7. So I wouldn't be too disheartened about the way that they're defending either. For me, they're just too slow when they start games, Cambridge. During that opening half hour, they're the worst team in League One by miles. They've scored 1 goal in the opening half hour and let in 7. It's a shocker. But when they do score first, they seem to go on and win. So yeah, it's all about kind of getting on the front foot and maybe getting the opening goal with Cambridge, and then they can keep those wins rolling in. And yeah, I like it. And I actually like the signings. I think that the people that have come in this summer have improved them. I think Masterson at the back's been good. Shiloh Tracy from Spurs out wide, starting to make an impact. Williams settled in really well at right back. So yeah, lots to like about Cambridge. And I think they can get a result at Crewe, I really do. The last away game Cambridge had, they won at Fratton Park, remember? I don't think this will worry them at all.
You mentioned Ironside there, Adrian, a bit before my time, but where does he rank for you in terms of great TV detectives? Kind of behind Columbo, but ahead of Poirot?
You've thrown me completely. I can't even. Who is Ironside? Who's the detective Ironside?
He was in a wheelchair, from what I remember. Fairly old fella, went round solving crimes.
Nah, don't. It doesn't ring a bell for me. No, I've watched too many detective dramas down the years, and now they just all sort of merge into one. I can't remember any of them.
Should I have included Angela Lansbury for her work in Murder, She Wrote in that bracket, Sam?
The pet detective, I would have preferred.
Okay, fine. Well, that leads us nicely on to Sheffield Wednesday versus Oxford, because, of course, Sheffield Wednesday are known as the Owls. These two meet at Hillsborough, both enjoyed fine minutes.
Hang on, how many people have got pet owls?
Not very many.
I applaud what you've tried to do there, Matt. But
one of my friends had a pet owl when he was at his house. But God, let's get on to this game. Sheffield Wednesday, Oxford. Yeah. Big win for them, Sam, against Wigan, as we mentioned. None in 4 prior to that. So this ought to be a catalyst for them.
Definitely, although coming up against an Oxford team who really rediscovered their goal scoring form, and they start games brilliantly as well. You know, similar to what Adrian was just talking about, could be the dynamic in the previous game. Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday may go behind in this game, but it'll have to be digging in, staying in. And I just felt against Wigan, he left out Barry Bannon, which, that's a big decision, you know, in terms of what he is in League One. And obviously for Sheffield Wednesday, when he's on song, he's their conductor, isn't he? So I think that was a, considering who they were playing, very aggressive, strong unit in Wigan Athletic right now. And I think he tried to match them up and he got it spot on, Darren Moore. You just look at the front players, the energy that Gregory and Patterson bring, Hutchison into midfield, real strength through the spine. And I think it got a real energetic performance, full of good tempo. And I just think for this fixture, he may stay with that, because the Sheffield Wednesday are going to come up against a lot of sides who don't show much ambition, especially at Hillsborough. I know this game's away from home, but Bannon is going to really come to the fore when you've got to play balls through the eye of a needle, etc. So tactically, very good, and a much needed victory after something of a wobble. Hadn't won in 4. That was really impressive and fascinating to see if they can back it up against another really good League One side.
Speaking of teams who got much needed wins, Adrian, Oxford's 5-1 thumping of Accrington on Tuesday comes after they went 5 without in all comps. Where are they at in terms of progress from last season? Because I feel like we often have the same sort of conversation about Oxford.
I don't know. I think the jury's still out. They've got to improve on their away form, haven't they? So matches like this will be a good gauge, really, of where they're at. Their home form is pretty good. But I think just one point on the road so far this season. It's a real anomaly as well. In the second half of away games, haven't scored a single goal yet, which is not a good stat. It's not a great reflection on maybe the changes that Kyle Robinson's making, on the fitness of the players, on even the character of them. So that's a slight worry. You don't want to be that team that are pretty good at home but absolute rubbish away. So they need to improve on that. I'm interested about the team selection here because in midfield, they went for Herbie Kane ahead of Alex Gorin in midfield because they wanted to pass the ball better and go on the front foot. Will he do the same in the game at Hillsborough? So that would be interesting, as will Nathan Holland's possible inclusion. I mean, this is how quick... This is the life of a footballer, and I've been there. I'm sure Sam has as well. This is the fine margins. On Saturday, Nathan Holland, who's on loan from West Ham, left winger, didn't make the squad for the Gillingham game. Just left out completely. He's probably on his knees. He's like thinking, what am I doing? I might not make it. You know, all sorts of doubts might be creeping into his head. I mean, hopefully they weren't, but he'd have been flat as a pancake. Gavin White's injured. He gets a recall. He actually starts and he scores 2 goals and he makes an assist. And now it's like you can't leave Nathan Holland out of the side. So that is the life of a footballer. And I just thought I'd flag that up because it can change and fluctuate so often. And that's why I think the mental side of being a professional footballer is huge. Because can you imagine if you're the type of person that gets really disappointed, really elated, really disappointed, it can just... Send you crazy. So you know it can really get to you. Hopefully Nathan's sort of, you know, keeps things on a nice even keel. Good to see him get his chance and do the biz.
If you want to find out more about Holland, by the way, you can check out the Next Big Thing podcast from The Athletic. Just to clarify, that is about Nathan Holland, not the country, the Netherlands, sometimes referred to as Holland, which counts Belgium and Germany as its neighbours. Abby, give us some odds on those games, according to Paddy Power, please.
You did all that without a map. Sheffield Wednesday and Crewe, both the home sides, are both the favourites in their game. So we'll start at Hillsborough. Sheffield Wednesday at 23-20 and Oxford are 11-5 with the draw 23-10 over in Crewe. It is 6-5 for backing the home team. It is 21-10 for Cambridge and 11-5 for draw. We spoke with Gareth Ainsworth earlier and his Wickham side are the heavy favourites against Morecambe, 4-7 for the victory for the Chairboys, and it is 9-2 for the Shrimpers.
Thanks, Abby. Last stop, League Two.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Now then, we haven't spoken much about Newport, but it's fair to say all is not well with the Exiles ahead of their game with Scunthorpe on Saturday. And last season's playoff finalists way down in 15th after their defeat at Barrow, after which boss Mike Flynn said he was absolutely fuming with his players and that they need to learn they're making some very bad mistakes at the minute. He'd been very vocal in his criticism of his squad not getting vaccinated after a lot of them went down with COVID, including himself. Sam, I just feel like this relationship is going a little bit stale between Mike Flynn and Newport County. Do you think there's any way that he can refresh it?
It's looking difficult. And I think just because, you know, they made such fundamental change to the way they played last year. And I think they adopted it quite well. But then having gone and lost so many players, pivotal players as well, and then tried to replace them this summer, I think 14 new arrivals, some good players, you know, some good names on the face of it, but it's just not happening for them at the moment. And I noticed the average possession is 15th in the league, 47.6% they're averaging, which seems quite low considering the type of football they adopted last season. So I'm beginning to think it's a case of he's brought a load of players in that maybe aren't comfortable or good enough to play in this style. That's what it looks like to me. And, you know, aligned with not having a potent front line at the moment, he's going with Alex Fisher, who I think has got decent attributes but never been a great goal scorer, and Courtney Baker-Richardson right now. When you think of Amund and Jamil Matt as an example of years gone by when they're absolutely flowing, the goals, that is, this is a bit of a struggle right now. You'd have had this down as a home banker because of a more potent front pairing previously and a really stingy defence. And I mean, that's gone to pot as well. I think they've conceded 13. The last two seasons certainly would have been in the top five defences in the division. So this is a Newport side really short of where they have been, and must win, really. You know, home to Scunthorpe, considering how we've all written them off before a ball was kicked. And I think, you know, we've kind of been proven right in a large portion of their performances. They had a couple of results. But yeah, Flynn needs a win here.
Yeah, so Scunthorpe may be the ideal opponents, only off the bottom by virtue of goal difference. One win all season. Haven't won away from home since March. But, Clarky, they might be thinking, well, maybe Newport at home are the ideal opponents for us at the moment.
Of course they will, definitely. Yeah, and there's a weird anomaly here. Scunthorpe are pretty woeful. They're not been good at all. But they're unbeaten against teams in the bottom half of the division. A lot of draws. But yeah, the only games they've lost are against the sort of teams that are flying Scunthorpe. So maybe we've been a little bit harsh on them. The stats don't lie. I mean, they've had the fewest shots in the division. They're the only team that averaged less than 10 shots a game. They've got the lowest possession, so they don't have much of the ball. And they've got the worst expected goals against from open play. So they're the most vulnerable as well. So when you add all that up, you think, well, there's not a lot going for Scunthorpe, really. So yeah, I think it is a good game for Newport to get back on track. Scunthorpe are aggressive. You know, they'll put it about. And they'll be competitive, I'm sure. But I just don't see any punch in the team. You know, who's going to score them the goals? No, I don't think anyone scored more than one. And actually, I looked at who's got the assists so far this season. How many games in are we? About 10? I've had two goals. I've been 9 games, I think, into the season. 2 goals have had actual assists for Scunthorpe. I mean, it's that shows you how uncreative they are. I'm going for Newport to win this game.
I think it's time, Matt. I don't know what you think, but I think producer Abby needs to mock up Clarky on Shakira and he can do a rendition of The Stats Don't Lie.
It's a feature begging to be made. Before the end of the season. One of my favourite hat-tricks, by the way, it's just come to me. Marlon Harewood against Gillingham, 4-1 at the City Ground back in 2002. Absolutely sensational. He was nearly in tears, bless him, when he got the third. Good times. Abby, what are the odds for the game that we were just talking about between Newport and Scunthorpe, please?
Paddy are with Adrian and backing Newport on this one. They are 8-11 to beat Scunthorpe, with Scunthorpe at 15-4, the draw 12-5. And returning to a previous conversation, if you fancied putting some money behind who you think the next James Bond will be, Tom Hardy is Paddy's favourite at 7-4. But my personal choice is Reggae Jean Page, and he comes in at 5-2.
Don't want Tom Hardy anywhere near that, by the way. He's far too good to be doing Bond. You can find out these odds and more at paddypower.com or the Paddy Power app. Prices are accurate at the time of recording. It's over 18s only. Terms and conditions apply. And when the fun stops, stop. Right, before we go, it's the return of that thing we used to do, where I ask the boys something that happened in their glorious careers with the help of our old friend Soccer Base. In fact, shout out to listener Lewis Bell, who, after the success of the Preece's Right on Monday, offered some TFLS alternative quiz name suggestions. Per Lewis's excellent shout, we'll call this the Crystal MDAs. Anyway, questions. There's a twist this week. You have to answer a question about the other player. Adrian, you're up first. Earlier, we referenced Sam's appearance for Luton against Huddersfield in a League One game in 2008. Sam played the 90 in that game, but another striker was brought on to help him out. That didn't work. They lost 1-0. Said sub is the father of a current Championship defender. Name the dad and son, please.
Dear idea.
Can I steal my own question?
Well, let's give him more than 5 seconds. But yeah, I mean, I thought this was quite defender. An easy one, actually.
Really? But there's a lot of defenders in the Championship.
That's true, but think about strikers who've had sons who are currently defenders.
Yeah, the mind has completely gone blank. I've got another. Sorry, it's a great question. I can't do it justice. Yeah, it's just mind's gone blank.
I feel like this is a big thing for you to play with this guy, Sam. You're going to tell us who it is.
One of my favourite people in football, Paul Furlong and Darnell Furlong.
Reaction from Clark says it all. He knows that he could and maybe should have got that. So, Sam, you can win it now. Whilst at Southend, Clarkie played with Martin Margitson. What job does the former Shrimpers custodian currently have?
He talks about him on every podcast. He is the goalkeeping coach, England?
Correct. He was with Swansea City, but he left in the summer. So it's Parkin who takes the points.
So much easier. It's just, but do you know what though? Sam needed it. No, he needed it more than me today. He needed it. He's been on a real losing streak. It's fine.
You're right. I didn't get that novel on the Preece's Right the other day, and I've been beating myself up about it.
How are you getting on with Tess of the D'Urbervilles, by the way?
Prefer Jamie Carragher autobiography still.
Many thanks to Sam, to Adrian, and to Abby for their company today, and to you too, listener. What say we do it all again on Monday? See you then.
You've been listening to the Totally Football League Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Listen ad-free on the Athletic app and keep up to date with everything Totally by heading to @TheTotallyShow on Twitter and on Insta. Find out the latest subscription offers by going to theathletic.com/leagueshow. The Totally Football League Show is an Athletic Media Company production.
The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.